All right, as promised, we are joined right now by a former MLS player, 2006 U.S. Open champ, former Pac-10 Player of the Year at Cal, currently a correspondent and a producer with MLS, host of The Movement on YouTube, host of How to Watch the World Cup of Qatar Without Completely Hating Yourself podcast, Kalen Carr is my guest. Kalen, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Really good to have you on, Kalen. So let me ask you first, Team USA did it. They made it out of group play. They're on the knockout round. Before we get to tomorrow's matchup with the Netherlands, what do you make of what you've seen overall from the U.S. squad throughout the tourney?
I think they've really grown. If you look throughout the matches, you know, I think the standard has been really high. And I think the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway for me is the approach. They've had no fear, I think, going into any match. Yes, did they handle the Wales match, I think, in the second half the best? No. But did they come out against England on the front foot? Absolutely. I love that about this team. It's young. It's the youngest starting lineup within the tournament as far as, you know, that just kind of youthfulness that comes into the group. And sometimes it helps if you might not even know any better. You know, you look around the places that these players play and the pedigree that they have. I think they feel comfortable going up against some of the bigger names. You saw that with England. No fear, absolutely. And I think we'll see the same thing against another one.
Kalen Carr joining us. I like that a lot. So what about you personally? How nerve-wracking was that second half and the final moments even for you as the American squad essentially was holding on for dear life against Iran?
Those last 9 minutes felt like an hour. I was right here in New York at a bar with Alejandro Bedoya, who played with the U.S. Men's National Team at the 2014 World Cup. And the both of us were just sitting there being like, man, I could use a drink about now. We were drinking water, but I tell you what, like, that was felt like an eternity. The credit to the guys for kind of gutting it out and for Christian for finding the big moment in this one, because I think for this young group to get out of the tournament, sometimes that last 10, 20 minutes is kind of where you can see some of that inexperience show. And for them to navigate that, I thought said a lot about where they are right now.
Kalen Carr is joining us. Speaking of Christian, the team is understandably not saying very much about his status. He said yesterday that he felt better. He couldn't commit to playing tomorrow, but he would do everything in his power to get out there. Do you expect him to be there? And if so, how effective do you think he'll be?
I do. I think it'd be very difficult to keep him off the pitch. You know, we've all been monitoring this closely. We saw him post from the hospital. I think he threw a curse word in there being like, I'm going to be back. And I think that's going to be sort of, you know, he's going to be desperate to play. And the other thing I really liked was from the press conference, they asked him, the reporter asked him, you know, how does it feel to find this iconic moment for you? We've seen Clint Dempsey do it in the past or Landon Donovan's Algeria goal. And they were saying, well, this was the moment for Christian. He kind of pushed back on that and said, I hope this isn't my moment. I hope we haven't had that yet. And I love that. I just absolutely love that. I think it said a lot about him as a player, what he still intends to do in this tournament, and a little bit about the personality of this team, where they'll relish being underdogs and they're not going to be satisfied just to be here. As he gets back to kind of the youthfulness of it. And so I really love that from Christian, and I'd expect to see him in the starting 11 in this one.
You know, Kalen, I agree with you. I love that response. I had the exact same takeaway, because the fact of the matter is, it was his moment. It was his moment, but that's him saying, I hope it's not the only moment. I hope there's a better moment. What about Josh Sargent? Also, they're not saying very much about him. He's banged up. He's played really well. How critical is he to what the team does up front?
Well, he's had a couple opportunities here in the, you know, two starts. They also used Haji Wright in the second match against England when they were looking for a little bit of a different profile. So there were some question marks about, you know, would they continue to rotate? And now I think with the question marks of his health and availability, that might come into play as far as Berhalter's decision here. I did see reports that he was out at training today, which is a positive sign, wearing cleats at least. So as far as giving himself a chance to play a part in the game, whether from the start or off the bench, that will be big. But I really think the pressure to score goals is probably still going to fall on these wingers. We've seen Weah continue to stretch the back line, got the goal in the first one. At second one, I thought that was in. I don't know how that wasn't. I guess I'll have to defer to technology on this one. It looked level to me. But I think the goal-scoring prowess will still have to fall on those wingers with Pulisic and Weah and you know, maybe even Gio Reyna or someone off the bench. That's going to be a question mark for me. And you know, the other piece of it is set pieces have not been good enough for the U.S. It just hasn't materialize into dangerous chances. That's always been a strength of ours. And in tournament play, especially against a team where you are the underdog, you have to be efficient there. So that's another area of the game to watch.
Kalen Carr joining us. Speaking of the mystery of Gio Reyna, he's only played 8 minutes off the bench the entire tournament. Why do you personally think that he's not getting the opportunity to play? What's going on?
It's a tricky one. You know, there's been some reports that have come out. I think Eric Winalda made some comments that he's since retracted, saying there were some issues in the locker room. From everything I'm seeing, I'm not really picking that up or hearing around the team. I think some of it comes to game states. Berhalter mentioned that, you know, they've had the lead in a couple games where he hasn't come in. And the one game where we were behind, he put in Reyna in that one. Now, I actually think there's still an argument to say, just because you've got a goal, maybe don't sit back so we don't have to all suffer through those last 9-10 minutes and try and push for the second if the opportunity comes. But I think there's a number of options in that position. Some of it comes to the strength of the players that have been doing really well. I mentioned Weah and Pulisic. I think, you know, Tyler Adams, Lester McKinney, Musa. Those are other positions that potentially Gio could fit into. So some of it comes down to form, the strength of the team. But I still think there's something to say for Reyna. I'd love to see him get his chance and come in.
Kalen Carr joining us. So, Kalen, what about the Dutch? Stylistically, strategically, knowing what you know about them, what kind of a match do they want to play tomorrow?
You know, I think this Dutch team, you know, strong defensively for sure, anchored by Virgil van Dijk, as you well know, one of the best defenders in the world. And for a U.S. team that struggled to find goals, he cuts an imposing figure in this one. So that's one to worry about. Gakpo up top has scored. He's been on fire. He scored in every match so far. I think one with the right foot, one with the left and the head. So dangerous weapons up top. I think the midfield is really where we can push them. I mentioned that midfield three with Tyler Adams, Musa, and McKinney. I think that's where you can really get at this Netherlands side, because if you look back at that Ecuador game, Ecuador really was overran them in the midfield and were able to kind of create opportunities in transition. I think they outshot them 15-4 in that match and had to settle for a draw. So I think with that midfield strength of ours, you've seen Tyler Adams, I think, really emerge into a star in this World Cup on the field. I think the personality off the field as well is shown. He's a guy that I've seen grow up in Major League Soccer here with the Red Bulls and was always way above his years, just seemed so mature, always up for the big match. And I think the world is now getting to see on the biggest stage what he's really about.
You know, it's funny to say that. I talked to your guy Bedoya last week, and I asked him about the first time he saw Tyler Adams and played against him, and he shared that moment that he just did not back down. He was not afraid at all. He had that presence. So going back to really quickly, Kalen Carr, my guest, what about Sargent? If Sargent cannot go, who would you start at striker?
You could go with the argument with Haji Wright, but he didn't look good when he came in the last match. And maybe you say if you set up similar to the England game again where you went with a 4-4-2, that Wright would make sense. I think that, you know, for me, I would actually move Weah up into the number 9, and I'd love to see either Aronson or Gio Reyna come in and play that winger position. It just seems like Berhalter doesn't really want to kind of take one peg and put it into a different place right now. And so he's sort of sticking with those traditional number 9. So if that's the case, you could see Haji Wright or maybe even throw a wrinkle with Jesus Ferreira, who scored goals for this team in the past. But that'd be a big roll of the dice, I think, because he hasn't featured at all in this tournament. It'd be a big ask in knockout round to come in the 11. So, you know, keep an eye on that. But I still think with Weah in form and getting close to goal, just put him closer to goal. Sometimes it doesn't need to be so complex. And I trust Aronson. He's a fantastic player, has those minutes under his belt in the World Cup, and Gio Reyna is another one that you could potentially bring in then off the bench.
You know, Kalen, obviously these guys worked their entire lives to get to this point, but there's thoughts or reports that there's kind of a flu running through the Dutch team right now. Have you seen that? And if you're the Dutch, is that a concern?
Yeah, I've seen those reports coming out, and we've seen teams throughout the tournament speak a little bit about maybe the over air conditioned areas and how that might be affecting the team. And, you know, if this is true and does affect this Dutch team, and the reports came out and said that it may affect multiple players within the team. And I think this U.S. team already has the youth on their side. As I mentioned, they have the energy. This Dutch team has really struggled to cope with that. At times they've looked a little bit plodding in their buildup out of the back. And I think that could almost play into the U.S.'s favor even more so if for some reason this Dutch team is impacted by a bug or, you know, just feeling under it. And if the U.S. team can come out and jump all over that with their energy, really, I could see this turning even further in favor of the U.S. team. So now I'm going from saying we were the underdogs to feeling a lot more positive about the team.
Right? I think they're both.
I was going to say, respect the Dutch team.
No, excuse me, Keon. I was going to say, I think both those things are right. I mean, we are the underdogs, but you could talk yourself into it that, you know what, we're actually in a pretty good spot. So, which brings me to my point, does our best beat their best?
I don't think so. I'm not sure I'm able to go that far. Only because when you look at some of the quality and some of the positions that they have, I think, you know, we talked about the number nine. That hasn't been a strong spot for us. Yes, the wingers have been going, but to go deep in a tournament, you'd like to have a goal scorer in form, and with Christian sort of being, you know, a question mark as far as his health and availability, that sort of takes it down a peg where Gakpo right now is really kind of buzzing and getting stronger into the tournament. And then Virgil van Dijk as well. I think with him, De Jong, some of the players that they have, it'd be tough to say on their best day that the Netherlands aren't the best side, but you know, that's what the World Cup is about. We've seen this throughout the tournament. Japan, you know, they've been a surprise. Germany's out. Belgium's out. Denmark, Uruguay, all gone. U.S. is still around. So you don't have to necessarily be the best team in the tournament. You just have to be the best team on the day. And that's where I think the U.S., with that youthful inexperience in a way and that energy, and without any of the pressure really compared to this Dutch team, I could see that really starting to tilt the scale in favor of USA.
Extremely well said. A former MLS player, 2006 U.S. Open champ, former Pac-10 player of the year at Cal, currently a correspondent and a producer with MLS, host of the How to Watch the World Cup in Qatar Without Completely Hating Yourself podcast. He's everywhere. Kalen, really appreciate that. Thanks so much. That is a great conversation.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Kalen, nice job. Kalen Carr.